our website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue. We are hopeful that we can walk through this broadcast today, covering the issues, that will cover enough that you will understand where we are in America. I'm saying today, and I have said this in different ways for some time now, the CDC, the FDA, the DOJ, and the FBI, and all the other three-letter acronym agencies of the Biden administration, including the Biden administration, are all enemies of we the people. Enemies of the people. I want to talk about that today. We're going to start out in a moment after the brief monologue. We're going to get into the nuts and the bolts, if you please, of what's just taken place with the fourth indictment of President Donald J. Trump. And my question is, are we in a constitutional republic, or have we watched the demise of our republic? Are we now in a banana republic, a ten-horn dictatorship, where you prosecute your political enemies and where any prosecution is applauded by the Marxist Communist Party as being okay? I'm wondering if we can ascertain really where we are in our national structure today. We must, ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost, I believe we need to pray for God's protection and preservation for Donald J. Trump. Our nation, I believe, is in the throes, hear me, I believe our nation's in the throes of the final days of our constitutional republic. That's where I believe we are on a timeline, and it deserves our attention. It deserves our attention and prayers. And as we face the issues, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God's word's the final say-so. God's word has the final authority. In fact, I find it fascinating of what is taking place. It's sad, yes. It is horrific, yes. But it's also sad and at the same time exciting to see what God is going to do. I'm looking at Proverbs chapter 26, verse 27 and 28. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. He that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we see those dynamics in the world in which we're living today coming out of the socialist, Marxist, communist party known as the Democrats. I find it fascinating, too, that I've referred to them as the Marxist media, the Communist Party, as the Democrats, and I'm finding more and more on the national scene of the conservatives that are using what I consider to be my coined terms for the Democratic Party, and yet it is so real and relevant today. But as we face the issues, let me remind you, we go back to the truth book, the authority of the Scripture. It is the authority of the Scripture that we must depend upon. In fact, in Proverbs 29:2, the Scripture says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We're watching the result of the wicked bearing rule in America today. When the wicked beareth rule, the scripture says, the people mourn. I believe we're in a state of mourning in America. If not, I don't know why not. We find in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, the 34th verse, righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness, rightness before God, exalted, to lift up, to glorify a nation. But, that's the contrast, sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. And we stand there today with the crossroads, I believe, of the total loss of a nation, or the transition from the total loss of a nation, the transition from the Constitutional Republic on the journey to the total loss of a nation, and in between is the socialist Marxist going into communism with the 10-horn dictators. And I am saddened to see that take place in our nation. As we look at the scripture, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement. Thy word is truth. In Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So may I contend today that we need to stand on truth. What we've just seen out of the district attorney's office in Fulton County, Georgia, is not truth. And we'll talk about that on this broadcast today. It is not truth. It's a fabrication. It is a total lie developed by a George Soros plant as a district attorney in Georgia. When we look at truth, we need to understand that multitudes reject it. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. That's the words of the secularist George Orwell in his 1984 dystopian novel, titled 1984. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is the real need today. If we had truth, we would not be faced with what we're being faced with today as a nation. If truth were honored today, we would not be looking at the decline of America. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He said this, and I quote, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this powerful statement. He says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And on this broadcast each and every day, we stand boldly to defend the truth. And I believe that's what God calls every Christian to do. Every conservative and every patriot, we need to stand for the truth. And as Jan Hus says, seek it, seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and be willing to stand and defend it even to death. That's exactly what he did. When he was being burned at the stake, he screamed, truth shall prevail. It may not be in our lifetime, may not be what we see, but the end result is truth is going to prevail. It is very, very clear in the scripture that God is still on the throne, God is still in control, and even though it might seem that the world is out of kilter and out of order and the orbit is spinning to destruction, but God is still on the throne. And I believe he's going to, if not already doing so, judge America for what we're doing in the declension, morally, ethically, spiritually, in the destruction of our foundation. In Psalms 11:3, the scripture says, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? We're watching the foundations being eviscerated and destroyed. I believe that we need to stand up and understand that if this continues, and it is, where will the Christian church be? What will we be able to do from the standpoint of our liberties and our freedom? How will it affect our faith and our families? How should we then live, as Ezekiel 33:10 says? May I say to you today, we need to notice what's happening and be informed. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a gigantic benchmark, an identifier. It's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Your invitation is to drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a few moments for a very brief pre-introduction and monologue. Then we'll open our lines. Let me remind you, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. But ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine the false charges? Listen, the false, phony, fallacious, trumped up, if I can use that term, charges that's being placed against President Donald J. Trump, and all for just challenging the corrupt, fraudulent election in 2020. Now, my question to you, our listeners, do you believe the election was legitimate? Was Joe Biden really elected in 2020? Did he really get some, as they claim, 81 million votes? Did he get more votes than Donald J. Trump after campaigning very little? Being on the in the basement of his home in Delaware with some electronic, ads placed. Do you believe that Joe Biden is the legitimate president? I personally do not. And that's all Donald J. Trump is saying. Trump is saying that he does not believe that the election was legitimate. He does not believe that the election was carried out properly. It's a statement that's made by the Marxist and communist in general. It's not a matter of who votes, but who counts the votes that makes the difference. And that's what we saw taking place in the 2020 election, the 2022 election, the same thing. But President Trump is simply questioning what took place in the 2020 election. He's questioning the outcome of it. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is it against the law to question a local, state, or national election? If so, what is her name? Hillary Clinton needs to be put in prison. She still says that Donald Trump was an illegitimate president. She still says that Donald Trump was not elected legally. She still says that Donald Trump did not win the election, that he was just placed there. The socialist Marxist media, along with the Democratic Party, still claim that George Bush did not win the election in 2000, that the election was stolen, that he was not the legally elected president even in 2000. Ladies and gentlemen, the Democratic Party, back as far as the late 60s, challenged the end result of elections that they didn't like. They challenged the Electoral College system. They challenged the Electoral College votes and tried to put in substitute Electoral College votes for the election to be twisted and changed for their direction. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about a fraudulent election, you can go back and find that in the history past, it's not an unusual thing to the losing party, if you will, to challenge the election, sometimes on a legitimate basis. The Trump administration, Donald Trump, and those that believe the election was stolen, processed and tried to get into the courtroom doors of some 63 cases. Yet you'll hear on the Marxist media that the courts have rejected every one of their charges. No, the court doors were slammed closed. In fact, the judges were not allowed any of the listen, out of the 63 cases filed by Trump and the other leaders in the Republican Party and states, state electoral systems, 63, and not one had a hearing before a judge or a jury in any court in America. It was never done. They summarily closed the doors for any investigatory work to be done from the court or the legal system, if you will. I'm looking at a headline. I'm going to read the headlines. Then we'll take our first caller. It says, Trump, 18 others indicted in Georgia, 2020 election case. The article reads in part, former President Donald J. Trump and 18 co-defendants were indicted by a grand jury in Fulton County, Georgia on Monday evening in relation to the former president's efforts to dispute. Listen, it's based on his efforts to dispute the 2020 election results in the state. A 98-page indictment charges President Trump with 13 counts, including violation of the state's racketeering influence and the Corruption Organization RICO Act, solicitation of violation of oath by public officer, conspiracy to commit forgery in the first degree, conspiracy to commit filing of a false document. Alongside the former president, 18 others were indicted, including his former White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, his former attorney, Rudy Giuliani, Gina Ellis. Gina Ellis, by the way, is a foremost constitutional attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom Organization, and attorney Sidney Powell. And I could go on and on and on. Each of the 19 defendants faced a number of charges, but were all charged on the RICO Act. A total of 41 charges were filed in the case. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a fraud. It's a smokescreen. We're watching the political party in office trying to destroy the foremost candidate for 2024 election, while at the same time, nothing is taking place in a legitimate fashion within the prosecutorial moving forward of Hunter Biden or Joe Biden and their treason, and that's what it is, their treason of selling America. It's already been discovered in the investigatory committees out of the U.S. House of Representatives that they know somewhere between $30 and $50 million went into the coffers of some 22 shell corporations, then distributed to other corporate entities, and then distributed to family members of Joe Biden, the President of the United States of America. Much of that took place while he was Vice President and continued after he became President through his son, Hunter Biden. So, ladies and gentlemen, my mother used to call it the pot calling the kettle black. How can you make an accusation pointing your finger at one party and you're doing the same thing? You remember Hillary Clinton's claim in the 2016 election that it was Russia, Russia, Russia. And now we have discovered that it was Hillary Clinton that was in bed with the Russians. It was Hillary Clinton that had the dossier formulated that claimed that Trump was part of the Russian mafia, if you please. It was Hillary Clinton and the DNC that brought all of that about. It was a phony, false thing. We see that in retrospect. But it's all you could hear from about the entire term of Donald Trump's presidency. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please. Good morning.
Hello.
You need to turn the radio down. You need to turn the radio down.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. And you know what? Americans got to start waking up.
I can barely hear you. There's something muffling
Hello?
Your voice. Hello? You
Hello?
Need, Kenneth, the radio is playing in the back. It's echoing, so it cuts your
Hello?
Sound out. Go ahead with your question. Kenneth, go ahead with your question.
Hello?
Well, Kenneth, if you would take a moment and call back for us. But ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is what I believe the CDC, the FDA, the DOJ, the FBI, all are enemies under the auspices of Joe Biden, which is the chief orchestrator of what's taking place in America today, at the peril of our constitutional republic. We have a major, major, major problem today, and I want to bear down on it a little further. I'm looking at a massive article that's probably 20 or 30 pages, and I'm not going to read it all, but just touching on that during the first half of this broadcast, because we want to talk about other things that integrate with this, and I believe that are part and parcel of the total picture that we see taking place in America today. This article states, the indictment alleges that rather than abide by Georgia's legal process for election challenges, the defendants engaged in criminal racketeering enterprise to overturn Georgia's presidential election results. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis said at a brief press conference late Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, go back and check the records. Donald Trump and others challenged through the courts the elections system in the state of Georgia. They challenged the equipment. They challenged the counting. They challenged the ballots being brought in late at night and disappearing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The case was not allowed in the courtroom. And here now the district attorney is claiming that that's the avenue that he should have taken rather than picking up the phone and making a telephone call to the election officials in the state of Georgia. So I want to know, ladies and gentlemen, how do you stand? Is Donald J. Trump guilty as charged? Are these fraudulent flagrant charges in order to try to destroy President Donald J. Trump and his candidacy for 2024. I believe we need to look at it very carefully. This article says the district attorney said she intends to try all 19 of these defendants together. While the grand jury issued an arrest warrant for the defendants, Ms. Willis said she is allowing defendants to voluntarily surrender no later than noon on Friday, August the 25th. This marks the fourth act of election interference by crooked Joe Biden and the communist Democrats. They've nailed it on the head with that, who are absolutely destroying our country, he added. That's answer from Donald Trump. I believe I have Kenneth back on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. And
go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry, I don't know what happened, but you are dead on target. And if Americans cannot see that, we just like sheep going to slaughter. We are. They're shooting at this man so hard. It's ridiculous. Really, I wasn't a Trump fan, but when Hillary Clinton started running, I said, oh, heck no, I don't want another Clinton in the White House. So I saw this, what this man did for America, brought us up. And it's just ridiculous because he's not going to play ball with a professional politician, or should I say it like that?
Well, Kenneth, you're exactly right, and it's a shame and a scam to watch this. It's the old cliche, the indictment that they have brought against Trump in Georgia is like throwing mud on the wall, hoping some will stick. They've thrown enough mud on the wall that they're hoping and praying that some of it sticks. And the DA is a planted DA. The DA there, Fannie Willis, is a bought and paid for by George Soros for the purpose of doing exactly what she's doing.
Yes.
And it is a sham when you see the law being used in this fashion. It destroys the law. It destroys the justice system. And the thing that I'm amazed at is to see this taking place. And what they're wanting to do is to run before him to prevent, that's before Trump, to prevent him being able to campaign for the 2024 election. It is their hope and their desire that they can set enough of the court hearing dates and the court trial dates that it will prevent him from being on the campaign trail. But I've got news for everyone listening and for those that are behind the scenes trying to destroy Trump. Each one of these indictments, in fact, 2 weeks ago, President Trump on one of his campaign trips, he said, I need one more indictment to guarantee my election. This is the one more indictment. And I believe you're going to watch his rating and increase exponentially as a result of it. I watched Chris Christie on the set this morning on Fox News, where Chris Christie was basically, it's one of his opponents, opposition, running for president. He's got 2% of the votes even in Iowa, and yet he thinks somehow, some way, he can beat Trump, and he's trying to challenge Trump's integrity, his honesty, and what he's doing, and making claim that Trump is guilty of all of these things. But Kenneth, I think that what we're going to watch is all of this implode on the ones that are the detractors, and it's my prayer that we'll see the fulfillment of what God's Word says in relationship to Proverbs 26:27. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. He that rolleth the stone, it shall return upon him. If you're trying to roll a stone on someone, it's going to fall back on you. If you dig a pit for someone else, you're going to fall in it. That's what God's Word says, and I believe God's going to be faithful and true to His Word. I believe that's where we're headed with this. But here's my problem. Here's the whole point, Kenneth. If this continues the route that it's taking now, it will destroy our First Amendment. If any of these charges, if these charges are upheld in the appeals court and the Supreme Court, it will, for all practical purposes and intent, destroy, eviscerate, totally annihilate the First Amendment. And as a result of that, Christians and churches and pastors and religious organizations will not have the liberties and the freedoms of speech and religion that we have today. That's my contention. That's my whole point, that I think we need to take notice. What is your statement? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm telling you, Dr. Youngblood, you're dead on point, because if Americans cannot see what's happening, but like you said, Donald Trump growing up, but if we don't see what's happening to him, it's going to happen to us.
Well, the position that I take is if they can do that to him, it can happen to any one of us. He happens to have resources, financial stability, and ability to be able to fight it and defend it. And I find it a crying shame that he has to defend himself with the lies and have to spend the millions upon millions upon millions of dollars of his hard-earned money in order to defend himself so that he can have the freedom to protect America and to once again become the president of the United States of America. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. We need to keep looking up each and every day. And I urge you and all of our listeners, pray for the protection and the preservation of Donald J. Trump. That's what's needed in America right now. That's what Christians need to do. Every Christian, every conservative, every patriot, we need to pray that God will protect Donald J. Trump. Kenneth, thank you so much. Keep looking up. Our redemption is drawing near. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the CDC, the FDA, the DOJ, and the FBI, and all of these other three-letter acronym agencies, along with the Joe Biden out of the Oval Office, are all enemies of the people. And it is proof positive that they're enemies of the people when we see coming about, as we see taking place today, with the continual indictment on frivolous charges, the indictment of President Donald J. Trump to prevent him from being the candidate for 2024 in the election process. This article states this marks the fourth act of election interference, and that's exactly what it is, election interference. This article continues, the indictment alleges that the defendants joined a conspiracy to unlawfully change the outcome of the election in favor of Trump. According to the indictment, the alleged conspiracy to challenge the 2020 election result extended beyond Georgia and into other states, including Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. And ladies and gentlemen, you go back and check the record. Each of those were considered battleground states, and each and every one of them had major deceit, major fraud, major election interference by the Democrats and by the socialist Marxists on the left, and not by Donald J. Trump or the Republicans and the conservatives. We need to be very, very careful with what is taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm concerned about it. And again, I state we need to pray for Trump, pray for his being vindicated. If he is found guilty, if he is prevented from running this election, it then is the demise of our nation. As I stated once before in one of his indictments, we're watching the death of America if this moves forward. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue the broadcast right after the news. Top of the hour news for about 1 minute. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Thank you. This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Following his latest indictment, former President Trump is predicting he will be fully exonerated. This latest indictment comes in Fulton County, Georgia, a 97-page document that contains 41 criminal counts, racketeering and conspiracy among them. Mr. Trump's campaign calls it bogus and another attempt at election interference. The death toll from the Hawaiian wildfires continues to rise, approaching the century mark. 99 fatalities on Maui, confirmed by Governor Josh Green. Searchers continue their work in massive debris fields on the island. Despite higher prices and higher interest rates, Americans stepped up spending last month. Spending rose 0.7% from June. In the month of June, spending was up 0.3%. On Wall Street, the Dow down 304 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. What is your position? What are your thoughts? What are your questions about the latest indictment of Donald J. Trump? Secondly, we're going to be talking about in just a moment the ivermectin question. You recall that during the course of the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, that ivermectin was rejected by the CDC, by the World Health Organization. And as a result of that, doctors were not allowed to write a prescription for ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine that were discovered to be rapid healers and preventers of COVID-19. Many doctors had their license suspended and or canceled as a result of writing prescriptions for ivermectin and HCQ and advising their patients not to get the COVID death vaccination. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. I want to wrap up our thoughts in relationship to the latest indictment, the 4th indictment of Donald J. Trump, the indictment by a George Soros plant that's in the district attorney's office in Fulton County, Georgia. I think that it is a sham and a shame that we have that taking place today. But her name is Fannie Willis, F-A-N-I, Willis. And Fannie Willis, ladies and gentlemen, when you're going to have a grand jury, the material is presented to the grand jury slowly, carefully, and incrementally by the DA. By the way, the grand jury, I believe, is a farce because it was initially set up so that the defendant could have an opportunity to have his case heard behind closed doors for a grand jury to issue a no bill. That is to say, there's not evidence enough to cause him to be tried. But it's being used today by the federal and state governments to try to try a person and force a person into guilt, whether they're guilty or not. We find that taking place. But listen very carefully. You may be aware of this, and you may not be. But yesterday, about noontime, appeared on the website of the district attorney's court docket showing the case that had already been presented to the grand jury, had the DA's seal on it. It had been issued a case number on it, and it showed that they had already voted to indict President Donald J. Trump. Immediately then, when it was discovered, and listen, here's the point. The grand jury had not finalized. They had not met a final time and voted on anything when this appeared on the district attorney's website, on the clerk of court's website, at the direction and behest of the district attorney. And when it was discovered, then all of a sudden there was a real push to get all of the people back to the grand jury room. And so that's the reason they met last evening, even after dark, 7, 8, 9 o'clock, wrapping up to finally issue an indictment. And then 10, 11, 12 o'clock, midnight, if you please, then having a press conference with Fannie Willis, the district attorney, declaring that the grand jury had voted to indict Donald J. Trump. I'm looking at the headline, Georgia court post then removed from website a list of criminal charges against Trump. A website for the Georgia Fulton County on Monday briefly listed what appeared to be a criminal charges against Donald J. Trump, with the county's district attorney expected to indict the former president as soon as Tuesday. Reuters News reported on a list of several criminal charges to be brought against Trump, including one that the state's racketeering conspiracy and to commit false statements and solicitation of violation of the oath by a public officer. However, prosecutors said Trump had not been indicted in the probe of the 2020 presidential election. A Fulton County grand jury began hearing from witnesses about noontime on Monday. The wire services, who published a copy of the document listing the charges before it was removed from the website. Quote, a spokesman from the county district attorney, Fannie Willis, said the report of charges being filed were inaccurate, not authoritative, but declined to give further comment, according to the Associated Press. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, they went in already predetermined and already pre-written the indictment prior to the grand jury finalizing the hearing and making the vote on what should be done. Here's an article. I'll read this and then take our next caller. She just lied to the universe. Trump official rips the DA over the Fourth Amendment. Former President Administration official Kash Patel blasted Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis Monday over the Georgia grand jury indictment of former President Donald Trump, saying she lied to the world. A grand jury in Fulton County, Georgia, handed down 10 indictments Monday charging Trump and other associates over Trump's efforts to contest the 2020 election results in that state. She just lied to the universe. As the district attorney, your name, your stamp is on every single indictment. Quote, you do not have those copies of indictments floating around and blame the clerical system and the judicial officers in the clerk's office for some mishap. She just said that she has no idea how the indictment was presented and posted online. She just lied to the whole world, Patel said. A document listing charges against Trump was posted on the website of Fulton County Courts Monday afternoon before being deleted and before the grand jury even voted. Quote, that should tell you everything you need to know about her weaponizing the system of justice, her personal animosity toward Donald Trump, and the destruction of the due process and the continued election rigging that goes on the state level, Patel said. It was done with her approval, through her hands, and through all of her assistant district attorneys, Patel added. She is responsible. She just lied to the whole world, end quote. I find it fascinating that is spot on with what literally took place. So the question is, how should we then live? What should we do? Knowing that this is taking place, knowing that it's fabricated, knowing that it is election interference, knowing that it is an attempt, an open, aggressive, hostile attempt to take the 2024 election and take it out of the hands of the people and let it be placed in the hands of the elitists behind the scenes, the Marxist, the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. I believe I have Glenn on the line. Glenn, go with your question and comment, please.
Well, you've got the Trump situation. You've got the poison that they pushed on us in the form of shots. They got the restriction of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine so they could force all that. So the bottom line, kind of, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar and a murderer. Jesus was confronting the Pharisees, and then what was that? John chapter 8, at about verse 42, he says, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come from myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." You've got people that are chasing a buck so much they've sold their soul to the devil. They'll lie, cheat, steal, and kill to get the money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, at about verse 10, it says, "For the love of money," it's not money that's the root of all evil. It says, verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." It says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And then, of course, over in 2 Peter at verse 5, correction, chapter 5, at verse 6, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Ephesians says, chapter 5, verse 13, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly," basically look around, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We're supposed to be exposing lies, exposing deception, and we're getting it on a wide scale, politically, financially, in the monetary system, the medical system. We've been lied to. It's really appalling.
Absolutely, Glenn.
Realize they've been deceived.
Glenn, absolutely. What you're saying is the same system that we're watching today that's lying to us about the political elements in the 2020 election. It's the same system, the same organization, the same agencies, the same structure, the same demonic lie that lied to us about COVID. And when there was the push with the COVID, when there was the push for the social distancing, the push for the putting on a mask, even Anthony Fauci said 2, 3, or 4 masks mm-hmm. would be helpful. The lockdowns, the illegal lockdowns that took place, making it illegal to even leave your home if you were to be caught outside of your home. Many state governors, many city mayors, as the former mayor here in Jacksonville, Lenny Curry, for 180 days kept renewing every 30 days the mask mandate. It's the lie that the boosters, the vaccine would cure or prevent COVID, and then the boosters that would prevent or cure the COVID element. All of that was a lie. And Glenn, one of the things that I'm concerned about is that now we're finding that the CDC is now saying that ivermectin is safe, that ivermectin is okay. And yet it was the CDC that was saying that ivermectin CDC and FDA was saying that it is was not safe at all. In fact, they called it a horse paste, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm looking at an article, Glenn, that says FDA drops ivermectin bombshell. Doctors are free to prescribe ivermectin to treat COVID-19, a lawyer representing the U.S. Food and Drug Administration said last week. The bottom line is, Glenn, you're perhaps familiar with it. Our listeners may not be, that several doctors have filed a class action suit, a joint suit against the FDA because of the FDA restricting them and their right to administer hydroxychloroquine, or ivermectin. And as a result of that, they've sued the FDA. And the FDA is now trying to defend themselves in court. This article says FDA explicitly, this is a quote now, in the court system, FDA explicitly recognizes that doctors do have the authority to prescribe ivermectin to treat COVID. Ashley Chung, a Department of Justice lawyer representing the FDA, said during an oral argument on August the 8th in the U.S. Court of Appeals and the Fifth Circuit, the government is defending the FDA's repeated exhortation to people to not take ivermectin for COVID-19, including post, including a post that said, just stop it. Now, keep in mind, Glenn and our listeners, with the FDA, they had posted on their website talking about ivermectin, and they said, just stop it. This article goes on to say, the fundamental issue in the case is straightforward. After the FDA approved the human drugs for sale, does it then have the authority to interfere with how the drug is used within the doctor-patient relationship? And the answer to that question, according to the judge, is no. The doctor, the judge said in the case. The FDA on August 21st, 2021 wrote on Twitter, formerly X, formerly known as Twitter, you are not a horse. You're not a cow. Seriously, stop it. So the judge asked the question, what does stop it mean? Isn't that a command? Isn't that a directive coming from a legal representative of the FDA and the CDC? But Glenn, the bottom line is, we're watching the same lies, the same deception, the same interference with life and living of the we the people. And yet doctors had their license suspended, their license either suspended or totally canceled because of their stand against the COVID pandemic. Glenn, I think you're familiar with Senator Ron Johnson and his committee meeting on that. Tell our listeners something about the Ron Johnson, Senator Johnson's committee, what they've done, and the end result of what he said.
Well, it was, you can still find it online. I watched it. It was a little over an hour, but briefly, Senator Ron Johnson brought together a room full of not just physicians, renowned physicians, scientists, okay, and researchers. And he let each one of them speak as to what was currently going on. I think this has been, what, 6-9 months ago, maybe? I have to go back and look at the exact date. Robert Malone, one of the inventors of RNA gene therapy technology. Ryan Cole, a renowned surgeon. And then, what's the other fellow's name? It'll come to me in just a second. Anyway, he had a room full.
Dr. McCullough.
Thank you, Peter McCullough. He had a room full of these renowned, prominent physicians. One of them was in tears about how he was not allowed to prescribe ivermectin for his patients, and he was watching them suffer because he had been restricted and faced the potential loss of his medical license and the ability to practice medicine in a hospital. A lot of physicians that took a stand actually were pushed out of hospitals and pushed out of practice and brought into a situation where the FDA and the CDC was confronting them. Understand, here's the bigger picture. In order to get emergency use authorization, they kept saying EUA, emergency use authorization, they had to demonize ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. They had to demonize it, restrict it. Like you said, horse paste. They kept saying it's dangerous. You know, bad things will happen. Very interesting. Very interesting. Did you know that down in Central America, hydroxychloroquine is called the Sunday pill? Do you know why it's called the Sunday pill? They take it once a week in order to stave off malaria. It's that common. It's that used with no side effects. And it's been in use for 40, 50 years, and I think a little longer for hydroxychloroquine. Ivermectin Listen to this. I'll read you from the NIH, the National Institute of Health. If you go under Public Med Central, where scientists can post findings, look what they say. It says ivermectin is a macrolide antiparasitic drug with a 16-membered ring that is widely used for the treatment of many parasitic diseases, such as river blindness, elephantitis, and scabies. Satoshi Imura and William C. Campbell won the 2015 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for the discovery of the excellent efficacy of ivermectin against parasitic diseases. It's interesting, efficacy. You know, we had Fauci kept telling us how efficacious the vaccine was. Anyway, it was not. Recently, ivermectin has been reported to inhibit the proliferation of several tumor cells by regulating multiple signaling pathways. This suggests that ivermectin may be an anti-cancer drug with great potential. Imagine that. Ivermectin is currently the most successful ivermectin family drug and was approved by the FDA. Weird. The FDA. For use in humans in 1978, it has a good effect on the treatment of parasitic diseases such as river blindness, elephantitis, and scabies. The discoverers of ivermectin, Japanese scientist Satoshi Imura and Irish scientist William C. Campbell won the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine in 2015. Ivermectin has also shown beneficial effects against other parasitic diseases such as malaria, trypanosomes. Oh boy, I can't pronounce some of these things. There's three or four big words here that it's also good for. And then it says recent studies. Listen to this. Recent studies have also pointed out that it has a promising inhibitory effect on the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which has caused a global outbreak in 2020. In addition, ivermectin shows potential for clinical application in asthma, neurological diseases, and recently scientists have discovered that ivermectin has a strong anti-cancer effect. Since the first report that ivermectin could reverse tumor multi-drug resistance in 1996, a few relevant studies have emphasized the potential use of ivermectin as a new cancer treatment. Did you hear what I just said? Is it possible we also had potential cure for cancer, but it was demonized? It was called horse paste. It was called dangerous. Why? Why would you do that? Because you need to get emergency use authorization to promote your new pharmaceutical finding and make a huge profit. They pre-sold it to the government. They pre-sold it to governments around the world. Therefore, it became mandatory for everybody to take this stuff. All right? This is on the NIH website for discoveries being posted by scientists. Did you know? Did they say anything? Did they ever reverse their position? Wait a minute, what did you just read? Something about the CDC or the FDA saying, oh, well, you know, it might be good for a couple of things, just not completely bad. Well, the question, sir, if we were in court, are you lying now or did you lie then? Because one of these is a lie. The truth changed. You change gears. You're erasing something. You're deleting something. The devil is a liar. The bottom line is this. It's about the money. Money, money, money.
Absolutely. The bottom line is, Glenn, and I find it absolutely totally off the charts from the standpoint of the human understanding. Now they're saying, in fact, World Health Organization says ivermectin is okay. CDC says ivermectin can be used to treat COVID. FDA says ivermectin is safe now after millions have died and hundreds of thousands and yet millions that have been paralyzed or sterilized as a result of the COVID shot. And the not allowing the HCQ and the ivermectin to be used, their change in their position does not restore life. It does not restore the health of the millions of victims of medical fraud, mass genocide upon Americans through the Biden administration. And it was through Anthony Fauci. In fact, somebody recently said even from a Democrat's perspective, they even say that Anthony Fauci should have been fired. Some have said that Donald Trump made a mistake, and his mistake was not firing Anthony Fauci. And I'm in full agreement with that. But, Glenn, I'm looking at an article, and it's part of what you're saying about it's the money. It says vaccine provider gave incentive programs. And this is talking about the major insurance companies, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and others, that had on their websites, and I find it fascinating. I'm looking at the website of two or three of these providers where they were talking about the incentive program, COVID-19 vaccine provider incentive program for 5-year-olds and up. Getting vaccinated against COVID-19 is one of the best and safest ways people can protect themselves and families against the virus. As a participating practicing physician in COVID-19, as a COVID-19 provider, Vaccine Incentive Program recognizes your hard work by offering incentives to helping patients make the choice to get the vaccination. The COVID-19 Vaccination Provider Incentive Program is open to you if you're practicing physician can provide for the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Medicare Anthem Program, the included, and it goes on to give the schedule. But here's the point. It talked about they would receive 2 bonus payments. One bonus payment would come when they turned in a report of how many people they had convinced to take the vaccination. The second bonus payment would come 30 days or 60 days after that. And the whole point is it was designed to increase the number of people that took the vaccination that the insurance companies were pushing the physicians to do. And it goes back to what you were saying. It's the M-O-N-E-Y. So the point being, Glenn, you take a ivermectin, and on an international point sale, it might sell for 30 cents a pill. And yet for the COVID-19 injection and the remdesivir infusion that was being offered and pushed by the CDC and the FDA that was killing people, along with the respirators, the ventilators, it was about money. In fact, a COVID patient in any hospital in America was worth between $1 and $5 million for the hospital, the doctors, and all the medical providers as a result of that one patient. It was simply a money-making machine. I'm looking at a headline that talked about what you were just saying. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson unleashed a bizarre rant about COVID pandemic and claimed it was a planned demic by unnamed elites with the goal of taking away all of our human rights. He said, quote, "The doctors I've been dealing with, they believe hundreds of thousands of Americans lost their lives because they were denied early treatment. They were denied it because FDA sabotaged ivermectin, saying it's, come on, y'all, you're not a cow, you're not a horse. This was a Nobel Prize-winning medicine that could have saved hundreds and thousands of lives." Glenn, I find it absolutely beyond human comprehension to watch now these same elitists, these same globalists, these same power brokers that's trying to destroy Donald Trump, that has been trying to take away our freedoms in America, and through the forced vaccination and the lies about about the COVID-19 origin and about ivermectin and the cures that could have been used. Glenn, we've got about a minute. Give us a final thought to challenge our listeners to seek the truth and not just believe what they're told by the Marxist media.
Well, sir, they're going to continue to lie to us because it's very, very profitable. We need to be aware. My Bible says we're supposed to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We need to be aware. We can't just hope that someone tells us the truth. We have to seek the truth. My Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, at verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We have to take a stand for the truth. We have to search for the truth. We have to spread the truth, tell the truth, and share the truth with other people. And I'm talking about the salvation of Jesus Christ from God the Father. And once the Spirit of God is in a person, they have to tell the truth, because it is the Spirit of truth that lives within us.
That's right. Absolutely. Glenn, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited.